This program is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any illness. Please speak with your doctor when starting a new health program.
I want to welcome all of you from around the world. This is Wellness Talk brought to you by The Counterpart Show. This is the show that goes over the latest in health and healing, nutrition, and supplements. We give you a lot of tools and tips so you can hopefully lead a healthier lifestyle. Glad you guys can be with me. I'm George Batista, as always, your host and your wellness advocate. Make sure you go to georgebatista.com, where all the information that we go over is there. It's usually fully referenced, so you can check that out. And also, this show is brought to you by Wellness Resources. Wellness Resources, 35-year-old nutritional supplement company. They are at the forefront of high-quality nutritional supplementation, again, for the last 35 years. So make sure you check them out, because I reference a lot of their supplements on this podcast. So make sure you go to myvitaminresource.com to check out all their supplements that we go over. And by the way, we hooked you up. So those of you who want to check out their supplements and actually purchase their supplements, if you use the promo code COUNTERPARTS, you will get free shipping on your order. Again, so if you go, and by the way, that includes an order of any size. So if you go to myvitaminresource.com, make a purchase, and you enter the promo code COUNTERPARTS, you will get free shipping on that order. So that's our gift to you guys, for not only supporting the show, supporting Wellness Resources, and just, being good health advocates for yourself. So enjoy it. Absolutely. All right. So I'm going to go over the topics that we're going to be talking about today. And the first one is going to be our Wellness Resources article of the week. And it's how to improve ovarian health and hormone balance. This is one of those things that's very important for women. You have a lot of women out there who have a lot of ovarian problems and metabolic problems, and, you know, obviously type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance could all be a part of that. So we're going to talk about the issues that women are facing when it comes to ovarian health. So we're going to talk about what the problems are, as we always do on this show, but then we're also going to talk about the solutions, what you can do to put the odds in your favor to get healthier. And because remember, it's not just ovarian health, it's also the health of the whole body, right? So we want to talk about the entire body. So, but at least this is one topic that, you know, is something that is very important for women out there. So I think it's going to be very interesting to you. Then continuing on that, as far as ovarian health, this is brand new information on one of my favorite supplements. You guys know that I love vitamin D. I'm a big proponent of talking about being on vitamin D and making sure your levels are up at an optimal level. So this is from Nagoya University, and this is vitamin D may restore the body's natural barrier against ovarian cancer. And the reason why this is amazing is because there's specific pathways that ovarian cancer can proliferate in the body. Well, vitamin D has been shown to actually not only block the pathways, but to prevent it in the first place. So I'm going to tell you exactly how that works. Again, brand new science on vitamin D. This is amazing information. It's obviously going to lead to more studies on this like it, but I think you're going to enjoy the information that that comes out of it. It's very, very positive. Then we're going to talk about protein supplement helps control type 2 diabetes. And this is from Newcastle University. And, you know, type 2 diabetes, I've talked a lot about on this show, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes. And I've given you a lot of tips on what to do to help support that, even try to prevent it if you could. Well, this is going to show you this, again, brand new research on protein supplementation and how it affects type 2 diabetes, and actually how it helps support, type 2 diabetes. And when I say support it, meaning getting you back on track when it comes to diabetes. So I think this is going to be very good information, and it's very promising information when it comes to protein and diabetes in general. And then finally, our nutrient spotlight from the week, it's going to be again from Wellness Resources as always. And this is, I'm going to talk about the daily protein unflavored, or the daily whey protein that they have. And they have four different flavors of whey protein. It's powder. You guys can use it in your, you know, your shakes in the morning, or you guys can, you know, however you want to use it during the day, not only help with cravings, but just making sure you're getting not only good protein in your system, but also can just help in general, making sure you're getting the right proteins and the right amounts and that type of thing. So we're going to talk about their protein supplements, what's in them, what's not in them, and why you should be taking them if you are, if you feel you are protein deficient or just need that little extra boost in the morning. So good stuff. So that's what we got on tap for you guys this week. So let's get started. All right. First, from Wellness Resources, this is how to improve ovarian health and hormone balance. So let's talk about the issues when it comes to ovarian health. Nearly one in five women of childbearing age experiences distress of ovarian endocrine hormone imbalances. So there's different types of hormone imbalances, obviously, for women. One of the big ones is PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome. I've worked with a lot of people who've had that. It's one of the leading causes of not only infertility in women, but also hormonal imbalances. And because of that, it can affect women in many, many different ways, including with insulin resistance, excess body fat, hair loss, prolonged periods, mood stress, body hair, all different types of things, problems with fertility. All that can stem from a condition like PCOS and just hormone imbalances in general, but PCOS is one of the big ones. So that's something you have to, you know, take into consideration. Now, one of the big things that happens, or one of the big triggers anyway, for PCOS or hormone imbalances is insulin resistance and obesity, by the way. Okay. So you have to remember that they're triggers because they, they're a dysregulation of ovarian and endocrine metabolic function. Okay. So they can lead to a really, you know, throwing all those things out of whack. And basically this is where you get that cascade that starts, and then oxidative stress and that type of thing. Okay. So, you know, obviously again, insulin resistance is a big thing with this. And, you know, we've talked about insulin resistance on this show. Insulin resistance basically is when your cells are no longer taking the insulin, they become insensitive to it. And a lot of times it's because the insulin and the blood sugar, insulin and the blood sugar has gotten so out of control, right? It's gotten to levels that are way out of control that your cells actually become resistant to the insulin. And then this is where you end up with insulin and starts to, or in blood sugar starts to go into other areas of the body, starts getting stored into fat. And, you know, fat cells, and this is where you get weight gain and, you know, all different types of things. But one of the things that happens also is because you start to get something called ROS, which is a term that means a reactive oxygen species. And what that is basically it's free radicals. Okay. You've heard of free radicals. You've heard of oxidation. They're pretty much most likely they're pretty much the same thing. So free radical damage can cause a cascade of damage that drives insulin resistance, obesity, and again, hormone imbalances. And that can lead to disruptive, ovarian problems, ovarian disorders and stuff like that. Your mitochondria gets affected. Okay. Now, again, mitochondria obviously is your energy hubs, your energy cycles for your cells. So those things get affected. Okay. And normally what happens is reactive oxygen species, or even just oxidation in general, is produced as a normal byproduct, okay, of living life, okay, or of exercise, or, you know, just doing things. But when you have enough antioxidants on board, they're able to squash those reactive oxygen species or oxidation, okay? But problem is when you don't have enough of the antioxidant on board, let's say, again, you're eating a not so good diet, you're not exercising, you're not doing the things you need to do, this is where you start to get the problem, because then it becomes imbalanced, right? You get a lot more oxidation than antioxidants that could actually deal with it. And that's where the problem starts. Now, insulin resistance also stresses your adrenal glands, okay, and your ovaries to increase production of androgens, okay? Now, androgens are the things that can start to cause facial hair growth, acne, those types of things. Because again, a lot of women who are having those hormonal problems, imbalances, those are the things that they deal with. Now, insulin resistance also, because it induces oxidative stress, it also induces the inflammatory signals that the body produces when you're dealing with an overabundance of oxidative stress. One of them is TNFA, or tumor necrosis factor alpha, and the other is NF kappa B. Okay, so they're also released. And again, it becomes this really bad storm of oxidative stress that proliferates throughout the body. Okay, and again, this affects your metabolism, it affects your endometrial lining, it affects your breasts, it affects all your hormones, estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, all those types of things are affected. Okay, so you have to keep your system in check. Insulin resistance is probably one of the biggest drivers in this, because it goes together with it. So the more you control your insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes or your blood sugar in general, the better outcome you're going to have when it comes to hormone imbalance. Okay, so what are the things we can do to start to put the odds in our favor? Okay, one of the factors we can use is dietary fiber and beneficial bacteria. Okay, and why is that? Because fiber and the beneficial bacteria, or what's called bifidobacteria, they produce what's called short-chained fatty acids. Okay, one of them is butyrate. And what they do is it helps to manage the inflammatory processes in your body, their inflammatory response. It helps to make sure the signals in your gut are working properly, and also your gut signaling everything else is working properly as well. Okay, so dietary fiber and that bacteria also help to buffer against inflammatory compounds. They help to protect against mitochondrial function and improve insulin management induced by excessive sugar and fat ingestion. Okay, so that's one of the things you need. Again, it's fiber, and make sure you have friendly bacteria. So how much fiber do we need? Well, you know, probably you could strive for 35 grams of fiber per day, if at all possible. That's a good number. Most individuals won't even get, 10 to 15 grams per day. So you definitely, want to make sure you're upping your fiber, eating a lot of fiber-rich foods. If you're not sure which fiber, which foods you can get, and obviously vegetables are filled with fiber, you can get yourself a fiber supplement. Wellness Resources has great fiber supplements, and you can just take those and you can put those in a drink, drink them up, and you get a good teaspoon of fiber in there. And here's a good thing. Have that right before your meal if you want to slow the rate of digestion in your, overall digestion when you're eating something that could spike your blood sugar. Okay. So that's a little trick there. Have some fiber or fibrous foods before you're eating something that has a high glycemic index. Okay. Now, also obviously dropping your carbohydrates to a certain level can help with, insulin resistance. And again, overall metabolic stress and metabolic health. So a clinical trial demonstrated that reducing carbohydrates from 60% or more of the diet to 43% was successful for insulin management and related ovarian endocrine stress. Okay. Very, very important. So use of things like oils and fats from cold water fish, sunflower oil, sesame oil, walnuts, olive oil, stuff like that, that has the omega-3s. All that type of stuff. Use of at least 1,000 milligrams of DHA for support. That's also fantastic. You can do that as well. Wellness Resources has a great DHA supplement, daily DHA, which is fantastic for getting your omega-3s in there. So you want to make sure you're doing that. Another thing that can help with ovarian stress or ovarian oxidation, what I call it, is vigorous exercise. Now, exercise has a marked effect on insulin sensitivity, which in turn helps to support ovarian endocrine health. Now, a minimum of 120 minutes per week is recommended if you really want to make sure that you're getting enough exercise and, you know, doing what you need to do. And when we say exercise, we're talking about high intensity training, even though any kind of exercise is good, because even after eating a meal, it's shown that even if you go for a walk, it actually helps to deal with blood sugar spikes and stuff like that. But obviously, if you can get more intense, you want to do that. So again, 120 minutes per week is definitely a thing to shoot for if you can, as far as high intensity exercise. Melatonin. Melatonin is a powerful antioxidant. Obviously, it's released by the pineal gland in the brain. It helps with your circadian rhythm. It helps with, you know, helping you with sleep management, but it's also found in your ovaries. A lot of people don't know that. Okay. So, and melatonin, by the way, is an antioxidant. Okay. So it does provide antioxidant protection, not only to your body and your brain, but also to your ovaries, your hormones, and helps to improve insulin management. So melatonin is a very good thing to use. Okay. Now, top choices as far as supplements to use in general, as far as just overall health and well-being for not only insulin resistance, but ovarian support as well, would be cinnamon, ginger, resveratrol, turmeric, and again, the fiber, and also chromium. Chromium is fantastic for blood sugar and just overall metabolic health. So, and then you want to make sure that you're getting enough of the nutrition, okay? Vitamin B1, B3, folate, vitamin D, vitamin C, and calcium. Fantastic stuff. And by the way, in addition, another study, it was a double-blind placebo-controlled trial, 12-week study, demonstrated that magnesium, zinc, and vitamin D, in addition to calcium supplementation, was very helpful. Positive effects were seen with ovarian endocrine hormone profiles and biomarkers related with inflammation and oxidative stress. So, you know, kind of look at all this. You know, these are all tools. These are all pieces of one big puzzle for not only overall health, but, you know, obviously health of the ovaries as well. And again, if you're dealing with polycystic ovarian syndrome or any kind of hormone imbalances, you want to make sure you're getting enough nutrition. You want to make sure you're balancing yourself with your food. Make sure you're getting enough fiber and make sure you're using whatever needs to be used to just keep yourself in check. All of these things can be used in combination, in my opinion, to get yourself back in balance. So just some tips for you guys, especially for the women out there who may be dealing with this issue. So it is a, you know, it is an issue that's a tough issue for women to deal with out there, but there are answers and there are things you can do. So make sure you check those out. Okay, next, vitamin D may restore the body's natural barrier against ovarian cancer. So again, we're talking about ovarian health, but here we're talking about vitamin D, and this is from Nagoya University. So this was amazing. Okay. Again, this is brand new research on vitamin D. Now, this is what they did. Okay. So they talked about ovarian health and how ovarian cancer actually proliferates. And I'm gonna go over it here because it's very, very interesting stuff. So basically what it is this. You have what's called a peritoneum, which is kind of like a liquid lining of your digestive tract and your diaphragm, and just kind of lines your whole digestive tract. So, and this liquid lining, this peritoneum, pretty much what it does, it defends your body, okay, against different types of things. It defends your body against all different types of, you know, rogue cells and that type of thing, okay? And typically, you know, it's there as a defense mechanism or a barrier, okay? But what it uses is something called mesothelial cells, okay? And those mesothelial cells help to prevent the adhesion of cancer cells and limit their spread. The problem is with ovarian cancer, a lot, what it does is it gets around this, because what it does is it transforms the mesothelial cells into cancer-associated mesothelial cells. So it actually has kind of a back door here, and it actually transforms those cells and kind of hijacks them, if you really think about it. So what it does is it ends up creating an environment that helps metastasis and assists with spreading of cancer all around the body. So this is one of the ways that ovarian cancer spreads. So now, here's where the interesting stuff happens. So according to the Nagoya University, they found that vitamin D not only counteracted this process, but also restored cancer-associated mesothelial cells to their original state. So think about that for a second. It actually counteracts the process of whereby the cancer hijacks these cells. So it stops that process. But then vitamin D takes the cells that were hijacked and were damaged and actually flips them around and actually brings them back and brings them back to their original state, which is normal cells. That's huge. That is absolutely huge stuff. I mean, literally, who knew that vitamin D can do this, right? And I'm going to quote a little bit here from Dr. Kazuhisa Kitami from the who did the study from Nagoya University. And he said, it is the first study of this kind. And what he says is, and I'm quoting here, the administration of vitamin D helps normalize the peritoneal environment. This suggests that the combination of vitamin D and conventional remedies can enhance their therapeutic efficacy for ovarian cancer. We think this helps prevent the adhesion of cancer cells to the peritoneum, which may make it possible to prevent the occurrence of ovarian cancer. That is so huge. You can think about it. Ovarian cancer affects one in every 75 women in the world right now. Okay. So this is great at help to restore this process and not only helping to prevent, but to make these cancer cells back to normal cells. This is huge. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more studies on this. But again, this goes back to what I say about vitamin D all the time, right? Making sure your vitamin D is optimal, especially in the winter months, but going into the summer months, you want to make sure your vitamin D is above 50. I always say between 50 and 80 is fantastic. Get your vitamin D tested, making sure it's in the optimal ranges. If it's low, taking a supplement of vitamin D is absolutely going to help, because again, it's putting the odds in your favor for whatever you're dealing with. But this is great news for vitamin D and dealing with ovarian cancer. So, very interesting stuff. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing if there's more studies on this, because this is great news. Okay, next. We're going to talk about protein supplement helps control type 2 diabetes. And this is from Newcastle University. So this is what they're saying here. Drinking a small amount of whey protein before meals has been shown to help people with type 2 diabetes control their blood sugars. Now, again, I talked about earlier in the show, I talked about one of the things you can do when you want to control your blood sugar when you're eating is make sure you're taking in good fibers, or eating fibrous vegetables, or just eating something that has a good amount of fiber in it to help slow the rate at which digestion happens when you're eating something that has a high glycemic index, right? Well, apparently protein can do this too. So this is what they did. This was a study, and it was they studied people with type 2 diabetes who drank a pre-made shot before meals, which contained a low dose of whey protein. They were monitored for a week as they went about normal life to compare the potential benefits of whey protein. The same participants also spent a week drinking a control shot that contained no protein in order to measure the results against each other, right? And the results from the continuous glucose monitoring revealed this. Glucose levels were much better controlled when taking the whey protein before meals. On average, they had 2 hours extra per day of normal blood sugar levels compared to the no protein week. In addition, their daily blood glucose levels were 0.6 millimoles lower compared to when they consumed the supplement without any protein. So think about that, 0.6 millimoles lower than when they consume nothing. Okay. So this is what they're saying. And I'm going to quote this here. It says, we believe the whey protein works in two ways. Firstly, by slowing down how quickly food passes through the digestive system. And secondly, by stimulating a number of important hormones that prevent the blood sugars climbing so high. So that's huge. Two ways. You're literally affecting the hormones that affect blood sugar, and you're slowing the rate of digestion in the first place. And this is just with whey protein. This is a whey protein shot. This is not even a big whey protein shake or anything like that. This is a whey protein shot. So this goes to show you, I've been a big proponent of whey protein. I think that whey protein, it is the most bioavailable protein. It's one of the proteins that I always recommended. But this is great science on this. Now, they also looked at alternatives, proteins such as plant sources like peas and other different types of proteins, especially for the vegans and for the religious dietary needs. But there's not as much science that has come out with that yet. So I guess they're still studying that. But this is great news for whey protein and, again, blood sugar issues. So the bottom line is this. You know, when you're looking at ingesting stuff that can drive your blood sugar up, you can counteract that. The problem with the glycemic index is that a lot of it is based on taking that, whatever the food is, by itself. But you can counteract it, again, with fiber, with protein. If you're going to eat something, you know, something that has a high glycemic index, you can do the counter effect if you can. And by the way, the studies show, again, if you exercise, a good amount of exercise before you eat, or if you take a walk after you eat, all those things can help reduce the blood sugar spikes and help to keep your blood sugar, you know, at more normal levels in general. So this is great news either way for whey protein and blood sugar. Okay. So just make sure you check that out, those of you who are dealing with it, because obviously blood sugar issues are so, you know, it's such a huge factor in the world today, especially in the United States, where we are the heaviest country in the world. We've got type 2 diabetes running rampant around the world, and we need to take control of it. And these are simple things you can do, you know, that can control that. So make sure you check those out. And finally, our nutrient spotlight for the week. This is the Wellness Resources Daily Protein. So Wellness Resources has daily protein powders, which are fantastic. There's four different flavors to it. You have the unflavored protein. You have the original with fiber. You have the chocolate with fiber. And then you have the vanilla with fiber. Okay, so these are all fantastic proteins you can get from them. And my suggestion is make sure you take them in the morning. And it's great to take these in the morning because it gets your day started off right, instead of having like a sugary breakfast or anything like that. Start your day off with a good whey protein. I guarantee you it will really help you with a lot of different things, such as cravings, again, blood sugar spikes and things like that. Now, this is what the daily protein helps you with: high quality, impurity, undenatured whey protein. That's what it's made of. It supports energy, muscles, and metabolism. It naturally contains immune supportive nutrients. It makes an excellent breakfast, and it has 23 grams of protein, 6 grams of branch chain amino acids, and it's 30 scoops per container. Okay. So let's talk about some of the stuff that it has. So, why would I say that it supports metabolism? Because a high protein breakfast, and I've talked about this before, can actually increase your metabolism by 30% for as long as 12 hours. Okay. And you want that because this is going to provide you with a metabolic boost throughout the day. Okay. So you want that boost as far as helping metabolism throughout the day, especially if you want to lose weight. Okay. This is going to help you with that. Why it supports muscle health. Why? Because whey protein is the very best type of protein. It's the most bioavailable protein, and it helps to improve muscle recovery from exercise. It helps to maintain lean muscle. And again, it contains, this protein contains 6 grams of branch chain amino acids per scoop. Okay. Helps to improve energy because increasing dietary protein has been shown to help with morning energy boost. Okay. And then it helps to support the immune and the digestive health. How? Because they have a special filtration system that leaves in the high amount of what's called glycomacropeptides, or GMPs. Okay. And that this basically helps to support digestive health, helps to retain a concentration of special immune boosting nutrients such as immunoglobulins, And whey protein isolate also supports the production of glutathione, which glutathione is the, you know, one of the biggest antioxidants in your body, which helps with your immune system. So all these things are the benefits of having a whey protein such as this. And by the way, this protein comes from grass-fed cows that are from family farms that were, they weren't raised with hormones and antibiotics and those types of things. So you're getting a pure protein that are in these packs. So I would suggest, if you really want a fantastic protein, check out the daily proteins, all their flavors from Wellness Resources. Make sure you go to myvitaminresource.com to check those out. And again, don't forget that if you put in the promo code counterparts, you will get free shipping on your order. So you heard it here first. And of course, everything's going to be down in the link in the description. So if you just want to go there, you can check it out as well. So that's our spotlight for this week. And that's our show for this week. So again, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for all your support. Again, go to georgebatista.com. Check out all the articles and everything we've gone over. Hope you guys have a great, fantastic week. Make sure you keep yourself healthy, make the right choices, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, take control of your health. Bye-bye now.